from the New American Standard. It says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." We're going to continue the Cross My Heart series. We're on part three right now. And today we'll be focusing on anger. And that scripture stands out to me because if we're not careful from our heart, God gives us a heart. We're made in His image. God gives us a heart that allows us to love people, care for people, and have compassion on people. But when we get caught up with anger, it can harden our heart. And we're going to take a look at that today. Pray with me right now. God, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for the opportunity to gather together in Your name. Lord, we know that Your word is here to help us. It's here to make us better. We want to leave here better than when we came in, more like You than when we came in, Lord. I ask You to speak through Your servant and anoint our hearts and our ears to hear Your word and apply it to our life. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Have you ever had a wasp in your car, a mouse in your house, or a raccoon in your garbage can? Or, like I had something very similar, a hive of bees on your front porch. These are not fun. Here at Church of Pentecost, we've had a bird in the wall behind our sound booth a while back. And if you just leave it alone, you can hear it fluttering around in there and making noise. These things harass you and annoy you unless you deal with it. Amen? Sometimes, though, we have things lodged in our hearts for years that are extremely dangerous to our relationships, and yet we don't do anything about them. And frankly, that's plain foolish. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And then that's in the King James New Living Translation. Also says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do." We are tempted sometimes to treat the symptoms that stem from an unhealthy spiritual heart, but we will ignore the deeper issues that cause the problems we experience in the first place. But as is the case with a physical heart, eventually the root of the problem will become a real problem in our life, and we won't be able to cover it up by just treating the symptoms. Just as a heart attack can destroy your body, a heart disease will eventually destroy you and your most valuable relationships. You know the old saying, it goes, the ones you hurt the most are the ones that you love, and the ones that love you. If we don't take care of our heart, we will cause damage to others that even once we've repaired ourselves, the damage that we've done to others will be a lot more difficult to repair if it's able to be repaired at all. And even once you've gotten past the issues in your heart, the damage you've done to those that you care about will still haunt you. Today we're going to continue to studying four specific factors that attack our spiritual heart. Each one of them causes an imbalance that makes us sick, and each one of them creates this imbalance through a debtor relationship. Think about when somebody owes you money they haven't paid. It causes an awkward imbalance in the relationship, or an elephant in the room because there's a debt. Last week we talked about that in the sense of guilt. Guilt says, I owe you. And today we're going to talk about the opposite of that, the second factor that actually works completely opposite. And it's anger. It says, you owe me. Rather than the guilt of owing someone, we can also suffer from the anger of being owed and not being paid. Ephesians 4:26 says, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Be ye angry, for some of us, that could be a life verse. Nobody wants to own up to that. We're just going to be quiet all day. Okay. The problem is not getting angry. It is carrying anger into our relationships. The commandment here is not don't be angry. It doesn't deal with how you feel. The commandment here deals with what you do with your anger. Remember that Paul wrote this scripture from prison. He definitely had been treated unjustly. And in doing so, he proves to us conclusively that anger is not an issue of circumstance, it's a heart issue. Anger is the result of not getting what I want or deserve from others. You owe me. You stole my reputation, my purity, my childhood years. You owe me friendship, a happy marriage, or a second chance. It's easy to believe that the remedy for anger is payback. After all, people ought to pay what they owe. So often, you and I spend so much of our lives waiting for debts to be paid that actually cannot be paid. And if anger gets lodged in my heart, I will eventually come to believe that everybody owes me. That's why anger leaves a trail of destruction in its wake, because an angry person approaches life and relationships looking to be paid back. It's not about what can I give to someone, it's what does somebody owe me? And when you begin to suffer from that heart disease, you're constantly seeing every little thing as somehow somebody owes you. And it prevents you from having a heart that can make someone else better. It prevents things like compassion, things like true love from coming into your heart, because I'm never looking for what I can give. I'm only looking for what can be given to me. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath means carry your anger as short a time as possible. Don't carry anger from one relationship into another. Don't carry anger from one season of life into another. Let the sun set on that painful season and leave it in your past. Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. When you carry anger, you actually open the door of your heart to the devil or the accuser and invite his influence into your life. Anger is an open account, a debt-debtor relationship in your heart. The problem is that most times you've forgotten the original source of your anger and you've turned it on others. But they can't help you close the account because the account is not with them. It's likely they're accidentally bumping up against some old wounds in our lives. And when that happens, we explode. That's why the closer someone gets to an angry person, the more likely it is that they will get dumped on for no apparent reason. That's why you can't please an angry person. Even if you are not directly the cause of the anger, they can't let you get it right, or they would lose their excuse to complain about life in general. If you feel compelled to excuse or defend your attitude, if you feel compelled that I have to tell my side of the story, then you are an angry person. You like your tale of woe because it forces people to cut you some slack. It explains your tendency to overreact, to say cutting things, to lash out, and to be moody. If you think your anger is not, you think your anger not only explains your behavior, but it justifies it, and you're wrong. Your anger is a crutch. You're nursing an old injury that should have healed by now, but your limp has become a way of life. Anger likes to hide in dark corners. With its actual causes unexplained and unidentified, because your real story loses its potency when it's exposed to light in your heart. Ephesians 4:31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Notice in there it talks about clamor, the noise. Sometimes we have trouble having peace because when we let everything quiet down and we get to a quiet place where we can actually look at ourselves, we get to a quiet place we can actually hear God, that anger is going to be exposed to light, and that brings with it guilt. So rather than stop and look at real issues in my life, I just keep up the clamor. But with that comes the bitterness, wrath, anger, and evil speaking. Sometimes we have to let that die down. But as Ephesians 4:31 there says, let it be put away from us. And say, God, I need the peace in my life. I need your peace in my life. And if it takes getting some things right, I'm going to do it. Paul lists every relational wedge that he can think of. He says to clean out the garbage in our heart. But to do that, we have to close the account on anger. If you've just received a cancer diagnosis, your main concern would not be, how did I get this? Your main concern would be, how do I get rid of this? That's the way we have to treat our anger. The issue is not, who is responsible for my anger? The issue is, how do I get rid of it? How do I get it out of my life? The only cure for anger, though, is forgiveness. Forgiveness closes the account or shuts the door, cancels the debt, and breaks the power of anger. But if I forgive them, it lets them off the hook. That's exactly right. Getting rid of anger bypasses fairness, overlooks payback, and skips resolving it, and refuses telling my side of the story. But it's still the best and only option. Because remember, they can't pay you back anyways. Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be ye kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." That's right after the scripture. It says, get rid of your anger, your clamor, your evil speaking. Get rid of all that. Replace it with being kind, tender-hearted, and forgiveness. Why? Because that's what Jesus did for you and I. If anyone had a right to be angry, it's Jesus. I came down here, died for you to cover your sins, and yet you still can't give that garbage out of your life. If anyone is owed a debt, it's him. But the Bible here says that he forgave us. Talk about an account to be closed. He closed it on us. And when I cancel that emotional debt, I decide that you don't owe me anymore. It's hard, but it's exactly what was already done for us. Even when Christ didn't share in the blame like we do with those that we have anger towards. After we see what he did for us on Calvary, maybe we can ask, now, what was your story again? If God can close the account on me, then I can close the account on you. Yes, life's been unfair to you, and people have been unfair to you. If we listen to your story long enough, we might even be tempted to join your crusade in fairness. Paul could have and should have felt the same way. But the bottom line is that we have the choice in choosing to be a victim. But victims are powerless. Victims always have an excuse. Victims have no control over their lives and their feelings. Victims are at the mercy of others. Victims can only react. Victims are held prisoner by their circumstances. And in time, we can come to believe the lie that it's okay to be angry. But you and I can choose also to be a victor instead of a victim. To do that, we have to first identify, who are we really angry with? Look back a few seasons in your life. Decide what was taken from you. Know what you're upset about. Sometimes you have had a fight. And you're mad and you're fighting with someone so long you forgot what you were fighting about. Well, I say sometimes, I mean, a lot of times, that's how these things turn out. And you just know, I know I'm mad at them. I don't know what it's about. But I know they didn't make it right. We have to cancel that debt. If you have to, literally, write it down. Go in your backyard, dig a little dirt pile, burn it, drop it in the ground, and bury it. If you can do it figuratively, that's great. But really, I say that kind of jokingly, but whatever it takes, get that in your head, I'm done with this. It's not coming back. Burn it in your memory, but stay in the habit. Once you've done that, get a habit of canceling debts. Nothing will get between you and someone you care about. Nothing will get between you and someone that you're trying to show Jesus to than carrying around debts. Even though these debts are invisible and they're in our minds, people see you carrying them. They don't always see what the debt is. They don't see what the burden is, but they see that you're carrying a burden. And just like you can spot a fake a mile away, other people can too. And yes, when we carry around those debts and we've been forgiven, but we still choose to carry around the debts, that makes us a fake. That makes us a hypocrite. I don't mean to say that in a way that says that if you've ever carried around anger, that you're a fake and you're hopeless. I say that in if you choose to carry it, while you're carrying it, you are not being Christ-like to others. You have an opportunity to close an account and forgive a debt, but instead you choose to carry that. And when we choose to walk like Christ, we choose to give forgiveness, that makes us like Christ. We are serving our Master, Christ Jesus. But when we choose to pick up this pile of garbage and carry it around with us that God would not even allow into His presence, we are now carrying around the burden of a different Master. We have to leave that at an altar and say, God, You already paid the price for this debt. I'm going to leave it with You. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus tells the story of two debt-debtor relationships. In the first, a servant with a debt of several million dollars is totally forgiven by the king. But in the second, a servant with a debt of only a few dollars is refused forgiveness by the same forgiven debtor. And as a result, the first debtor is placed back under the bondage of his original debt by the king. And Jesus says, that's what God will do to you if you refuse to close the account with those who owe you. Forgive, or we pay dearly. If you demand payment from others, you will be forced to pay the debt that you cannot pay. To refuse forgiveness is to purposefully, knowingly choose self-destruction. But if you cancel the debt, you'll be set free along with your debtor. Some of the feelings may remain for a while, but you decide to cancel the debt. That doesn't mean I would love to do that, Nate, but I just can't bring myself to. No, it's not like something I would like to do, and if it magically happens, I'll go along with it. It's I'm purposefully deciding to treat this person as if there was nothing wrong between us. Not as in I ignore problems. I know they're there. I know what happened. But I choose to love anyways. I choose to look at them differently. I choose to change the tone of my voice when I speak to them to one of love. And I will purposefully go out of my way to treat them with love and kindness until it happens naturally. One day it will, but until then, it's a choice. How long will you choose to keep the account open in your life? Yes, you may have every right to remain angry, but do you really want to? You don't have to let your past control your present and your future. You have the choice to throw away your crutch. Let's stand. Matthew chapter 18, verse 23 says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him and said, be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. And his fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay it back. But he refused, and instead he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in and said, you wicked servant. He said, I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he paid back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat you, each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. If you've ever seen the memes that put on social media, it says, look at John. John does this. And look at Bob. Bob does this. Bob is bad. Be more like John. Jesus started that. We have the opportunity today, though, to forgive just like Jesus forgave us. We can either be like him, or we can choose to be like the wicked servant who had zero compassion. If you notice, Jesus has the second servant saying almost identical sentence that the first servant had said to his master. When faced with the exact same choice, on a much smaller scale, that first servant couldn't bring himself to be like his master. But we are called to be like him, not like the world around us. And you say, well, nobody does that, Nate. Nobody forgives like that. Exactly. And you and I have been called to be like nobody else. We've been called to be like him. God, I thank you for your love today. I ask you, Lord, that you would help us to have a heart of compassion and a heart full of forgiveness, ready and looking for opportunities to forgive as we have been forgiven, Lord. I ask you to fill each of us up to overflowing with your love and go with us the rest of this week. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you so much for coming out tonight.